visiting with us, I encourage you to get your Bible and study with us. In just a few moments, we'll stand and sing the song that's just been suggested. If you've never put on Christ in baptism, all things have been made ready, where you can confess Jesus as the Son of God and be immersed into Christ for the remission of sins, as is taught in the book of Acts in the 2nd chapter in verse 38, and many other places, to have your sins blotted out, be added to the family of God, and enjoy every spiritual blessing in Jesus Christ. If you have your New Testament, if you'll turn with me to the Hebrew letter and the 2nd chapter, I want to read with you 4 verses for the thought of our study, and I'd like to begin in verse 14. Hebrews chapter 2, beginning at verse 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. For indeed he does not give aid to angels, but he does give aid to the seed of Abraham. Therefore, in all things he had to be made like his brethren, that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people. For in that he himself has suffered, being tempted, he is able to aid those who are tempted. The Hebrew writer at this time is touching upon a word that strikes the attention of all, and it's a word that oftentimes people would rather not discuss, and it's the word death. And in reality, we sometimes try to avoid talking about death, but you'll realize the reality of death. In the Hebrew letter and the 9th chapter, you'll remember the Hebrew writer said, it is appointed for man to die, and then the judgment. So it matters not your class in society. It matters not your skin color. It matters not where you may be in life. I want us to understand, sinners and saints, all people will die. However, Jesus is telling us in his words that death has been defeated. Notice in verse 14 that it says that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death. That is the devil. And in order to prove this to you, I want to recall 4 deaths that Christ came in contact with. And it's interesting to take note, every time that Jesus showed up when there's a funeral, the funeral was interrupted. And Jesus showed he had power over death. If you take your New Testament, turn with me to the book of Luke and the 7th chapter. And when you come to the book of Luke and the 7th chapter, you'll recall at this time seeing a funeral procession. And there's a large crowd, and the disciples were with the Lord at this time. And notice the Bible says they had come to the city in verse 11, identified as Nain. So here you have 2 crowds, one coming to the city. And notice the Bible says there's a crowd leaving the city. It says in verse 12, when he came near the gate of that city, behold, a dead man was being carried out, the only son of his mother, and she was a widow, and a large crowd from the city was with her. Here you have a crowd following Jesus into the city of Nain, and then you have the crowd following this widow who is burying her only son. But look at verse 13 carefully. When the Lord saw her, he had compassion on her and said to her, "Do not weep." Now that might seem strange at that particular time, but notice, my friend, Jesus looked at her and he saw the agony in her heart. This was her only son and she was a widowed lady. And notice Jesus said, "Do not weep." Now, my friend, we might say, what kind of a request is this? Well, I'll tell you, my friend, it's the only one that can be made of God. It's one that God can make because he's going to do something. Then in verse 14, notice that the Bible says Jesus came and touched the open coffin, and those who carried him stood still, and he said, "Young man, I say to you, arise." Now look at what happens in verse 15. So he who was dead sat up and began to speak. Now, my friend, I want you to look at that. The one that was dead. Underscore the word was. Because the Bible says he sat up and he began to speak. Dead people don't do that. And I want you to recognize Jesus had brought him back to life. I've often thought about that in verse 15, he hands him back to his mother. And can you imagine the feeling in her heart when all this took place? And I want you to look at the point. Death was defeated. How was it defeated? By the power of Jesus Christ. Now then, if you take your Bible, look in the book of Luke and the 8th chapter. And it doesn't take long to see another incident where Jesus raises one from the dead. This time, we'll find a young lady who's 12 years old. I want you to look, my friend, we see the death of an only son being raised. Now we turn to the death of an only daughter. And notice it says in verse 41 that Jairus, who was a ruler of the synagogue, had come to Jesus and had begged him to come to his house, for he had an only daughter about 12 years of age, and she was dying. Notice this man came to Jesus and is wanting him to get to his house before the death of his daughter, and he's begging and pleading. But Jesus is interrupted. There's a woman who had a flow of blood for 12 years, the whole life of that young girl. And Jesus, you'll remember, healed her when she had touched the border of his garment. When she had touched the hem of his garment, Jesus had healed her from her infirmity. But notice that at that time, someone comes and says, "Your daughter is dead." I want you to think about, my friend, here was a time when the daughter had been dead. I want you to think about in verse 49, they had come to him and said, "Your daughter is dead. Do not trouble the teacher." Can you imagine the feeling in the heart of that father when those words rolled off the tongue, when they said, "Your daughter is dead"? Oh, the pain that would put in someone's heart. The pain in the parent who had just lost a child. But notice that Jesus, when he heard it, said, "Do not be afraid, only believe and she will be made well." And notice that Jesus goes to the house where this girl was. I want you to notice she is dead. And they felt that at that point the Lord couldn't do anything for the girl. He could not bring her back to life. They felt death had the ultimate answer. Death had the last say. But Jesus shows them a lesson. In verse 50, he said, "I can raise that girl." And notice when he comes into the town and into the city, they ridicule him in verse 53. When Jesus said, "She's not dead, she's sleeping," they ridiculed him. They laughed him to scorn, is what some translations say. And you know what Jesus does? Because of their lack of faith, he puts them out. And he says to Peter, James, and John, and the parents, "You come into the room with me." And can you imagine as they went into the little room, Jesus had put them all outside. He took her by the hand in verse 54 and called, saying, "Little girl, arise." Can you imagine, my friend, in verse 59 or 55, when the Spirit returned? You know what James said? "As the body without the Spirit is dead, so is faith without works." The Spirit had departed the body. She was physically dead. The heart had stopped. The brain had stopped. Her spirit had left. But Jesus, when he touched her, the Spirit came back. The body began to operate again. And then he commanded that she be given something to eat. And notice her parents were astonished. I want you to think about, my friend, would you not be? To see someone brought back to life? And what is the point? The point is death is defeated. I've often wondered how they looked at Jesus after that. They saw he had the answer to death. He'd raised the man at Nain, and he'd raised the young girl. And notice both times, he did so by the power of God. But then if you take your Bible, look in the book of John in the 11th chapter. And when you come to the book of John in the 11th chapter, we have the death of a friend of Jesus that was very close, who is identified as Lazarus. And you'll remember that he'd been dead for 4 days. And in verse 34, Jesus asked the question, "Where have you laid him?" They said, "Lord, come and see." And in verse 35, Jesus wept. And the Jews said, "Oh, see how he loved him. Could not this man who opened the eyes of the blind also kept this man from dying?" They said, "Jesus, you're too late. You're 4 days too late. Had you come when Mary and Martha summoned you, you could have prevented this death." But just like some others, they did not recognize the power of God. Notice in verse 39, Jesus says, "Take away the stones." And Martha says, "Lord, by this time there's a stench. He's been dead 4 days. The body's beginning to decay. The body would stink." She said, "You don't want to take away the stone." But notice that Jesus says, "Remove the stone." Then in your Bible, notice what Jesus says later. Jesus, when he is speaking, notice that he says in verse 43, "Lazarus, come forth." Notice he didn't quietly say it. Notice the Bible said he cried out with a loud voice, "Lazarus, come forth." I like that statement, "Lazarus." Someone said, "Why did he say Lazarus?" Because that he said, "Come forth," the whole graveyard would have got up. Why? He has the power over death. And he said, "Lazarus, come forth." And notice, my friend, Lazarus came out. And have you ever thought, my friend, yet here was one who had died and he'd been raised from the dead? What's the point? Death was defeated. Who defeated death? We read in Hebrews 2, the one who has the power is Jesus Christ. But look at his own death. Turn in your Bible to the book of John in the 20th chapter. You remember Jesus had been crucified upon Calvary's cross. And not only had he been crucified, not only had he previously been scourged, but you'll remember they took the spear and they thrust it into the side near the heart of Christ where blood and water came out. And Jesus was dead. But upon the first day of the week, you remember Mary Magdalene had come and she had went to the tomb. And when she got to the tomb is empty. And look in your Bible at verse 15. Jesus, when he here the resurrected Jesus, said to her, "Woman, why are you weeping?" And look, she supposed him to be the gardener. Why would she suppose that? She saw that he was dead. "Sir, if you've carried him away, tell me where you've laid him, and I will take him away." And Jesus said to her, "Mary." She turned and said to him, "Rabbi," which is to say, "teacher." And Jesus said, "Do not cling to me, for I have not yet ascended to my Father, but go to my brethren and say to them, I am ascending to my Father and your Father, and to my God and your God." And Mary Magdalene came and told to the disciples that she'd seen the Lord, and he'd spoken these things to her. Notice, she said, "Master," she said, "teacher." What was the point of this? Jesus defeated death by the power of the Father, as we read in Ephesians chapter 1. Oh, I like that statement. He'd been raised from the dead. And notice he says to her, "You go tell the others that I'm about to ascend back to my Father." Now, I want to take that. I want us to think about our lives. Have you ever thought, my friend, there's going to come a day we're going to face death? Now, we're not going to be raised back to life here. But I want you to recognize that the Bible says that God has the power over death and will be raised. Look in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. When you come to 1 Corinthians chapter 15, look, if you will, beginning at verse 24. In verse 24, then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he's put all enemies under his feet. He's going to reign till that last enemy is destroyed. Well, what's the last enemy? Look at verse 26. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death. Now, I want you to stop and think about that in Christ. We don't fear death like the others because we realize we're going to be raised. If I'm a child of God, I believe by faith that if He raised His Son, He's also likewise going to raise me. Look at what Jesus is called in verse 20. But now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. He's the first who's been resurrected. As far as not ever dying again, you know, the son of Nain, the young girl, and Lazarus, they all died a physical death again. But Jesus' resurrection is important because He'll never die again. He's been raised to eternal life, and those that are His will be raised to eternal life. Look in your Bible in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. When the Apostle Paul penned this letter to the church at Thessalonica, look at what he said in verse 3. He said, "I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep." That means die. "Lest you sorrow as others who have no hope." Now, there's sorrow when we lose somebody. There's an emptiness in our heart. There's an emptiness in our life. But we don't sorrow as someone who has no hope of not ever seeing Him again. We don't sorrow as though they are not ever going to be raised, because He says in verse 14, "If we believe," underscore that, "that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with Him those who are dead in Christ. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord, by no means precede those who are asleep or dead. For the Lord Himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be called up together with them." Who? Those that have been raised from the grave. Those who had been dead will be raised first. Those who are still alive at the second coming will be called up. And look at that next line. "To meet the Lord in the air." And then he says, "And thus we shall always," underscore that word, "always be with the Lord." And he said, "Comfort one another with these words." You ever thought about in Christ that one day we're going to be raised? If we're His children, when Paul wrote in 2 Timothy chapter 4, you remember he tells Timothy that the time of his departure is at hand. He said, "I fought the fight, I've kept the faith, I finished the course." He said, "There's laid up for me a crown of righteousness." And he says, "which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give to me on that day, and not to me only, but also to all who loved His appearing." But for there to be life eternal, we have to be raised from the dead spiritually. And you say, "What do you mean by that, preacher?" Well, if we're dead in our sins and trespasses, as Ephesians 2:1 says, then we're separated from God. We're alive physically, but spiritually to God, we're dead. It's like the young man in Luke 15. Remember when he went out into the far country, what did his father say about him? "My son which is lost is found when he returned. My son which was dead is alive." Spiritually, we've been separated from God. Well, how are we made alive in Christ? When we obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Look in Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, when the Apostle Paul is writing, notice what he says in verse 3. "Do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into His death? Therefore we were buried with Him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so," what? "We should walk in newness of life." We are raised up in baptism to walk in newness of life. And we have victory in Christ. We're a child of God. We're a saint of God. We're a disciple of God. We're a Christian. And we follow Christ. And when we live our life dedicated to Him, when death comes, we don't fear, because we recognize He is the overcomer of death. Death has been defeated through Jesus. One must learn to die before they know how to live. And one needs to see that death, the separation, has been defeated because of Jesus. And you know, in heaven, notice my friend, there'll be no more death. There's no more separation. Look in the Revelation letter and the 21st chapter. And notice what the writer of God, John, says in verse 4. "And God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and there shall be no more death." And because there's no more separation, there's no sorrow nor crying, there shall be no more pain, these have all passed away. Oh, isn't that beautiful? That death has been defeated by by Jesus Christ. He is the overcomer. And because of Him, we can have life eternal. Wouldn't you want to go to heaven where there shall be no more death? Oh, I tell you, that's powerful. That Jesus defeated death. If you're here, what you need to do is put to death the old man of sin, be raised to walk in newness of life, and being baptized into Christ, and then follow Jesus.